seminar this morning. Great to have you. How many people were here yesterday to the one we did yesterday? Oh, most of you. So who didn't come yesterday? Oh, about half. Okay. So, my name's Tina Southgate. I'm a professional life coach, a coach trainer. I coach people to become coaches, and a business mentor. And I founded and lead a ministry called Destiny Coaching Ministries, which is all about helping Christians to figure out their life purpose, their calling, and what they were created for, and how to flourish, really, and thrive in their lives to become all that God meant them to be. And in the ministry, we go all over the place. We go to different churches. We run different workshops in different venues. We run online courses. And we offer one-to-one coaching via our team of coaches that we train and build up. And we operate in the UK, and we also operate in America as well. So I've been invited to come to Spring Harvest to talk about singleness. And the reason being because about 8 years ago, I was running a singles ministry. And it was all about helping singles in the process of trying to find a partner and how to live, authentically in who they are in the meantime doing that. And I used to run big, large singles events as well in the middle of London, all different types of themed parties, actually. Everything from James Bond theme parties on a cruise ship to Wild West parties in different venues in London. So I've got a real heart for singles who are looking to find someone and singles who are just looking to thrive in the stage of life they're at. But nowadays, as a ministry, we deal with all people of different stages of life and everything. So it's a privilege to be here and talk to you guys. So obviously, my message today is going to be very much mixed in with, we're going to talk about relationships, but we're going to talk about how to be thriving in being who you are and to really feel confident in who you are in the midst of being in those relationships. So for those of you who weren't here yesterday, we looked at, I shared a bit about my testimony. I'm 45 years old and have been dating for 31 years. I've never been married, so got a little bit of background in being single and having a fun life despite it all. So I shared that testimony yesterday just about all of the ups and downs and how it was and how God took me through a journey to finding fulfillment and purpose in my life without being married. And right at the end of the seminar, I did kind of say that I got engaged 2 weeks ago. So I don't think it means I'm single anymore, does it? I'm just getting used to the new status change. Not quite used to it yet, but I think it means I'm engaged, right? I'm not single anymore. Okay, not single anymore. So today, what I'd like to do is just share the journey of using my testimony and a bunch of tools that God has given me along the way as to how to really move into having healthy friendships with people of the opposite sex, which is not so much about, well, I think it's totally to do with the dating process, but not necessarily. Whether you're looking to be in a relationship or not, it's good to be able to have really healthy relationships with the opposite sex. And I'm going to just share a little bit about our testimony, how things went with me and my fiancé. And he's going to share what it was like for him on the other side as well, because it's great to get both the female and the male perspective. So my heart really for today is to really just to paint a picture for you as to what it can look like to be in a really healthy place, not feeling lonely, but feeling confident and safe to be able to have intimate, close relationships and friendships which will nurture you and where your hearts are protected. Where both the male and the female hearts are very protected in the process, because there's a lot of different things out there, programs, teaching, and it's all very good, but also sometimes it's good to learn how to actually be able to open our hearts up as well in a safe way to be able to relate to each other. So we're going to look at that. And just going to share with you some of the tools and the things that I've picked up along the way of 31 years of trying to get this right. So I hope you go away encouraged and with some great tools for yourself and for others who you may be involved in helping. So, first of all, I wanted to say that Andre, just stand up because not everybody hears. This is Andre. Andre and me are tag teaming for the seminars at Spring Harvest. Andre is doing the afternoon seminars, and he's going to be following up today, which I think is going to fit really well. The mechanics of dating and relationships as well, like how, you know, lots of great ideas on that. And I'm talking about sort of identity and authenticity and values and honouring our own needs as well in the process. So Andre's seminars are at 2:15 and mine are at 11:45 every day. So just so you know how that fits. So Andre spoke yesterday. He mentioned it's not good for man to be alone. You read the scripture, didn't you? And I mean, whether you're looking to be married or in a dating relationship or not, the fact is that God did say it's not good for man to be alone. So it's not good for us as single people to be alone and isolated and unable to have closeness in our relationships with other people. But how do we navigate that? How do we actually... It can be a bit of a minefield. It can be a very dangerous area. It can be full of hurt and disappointment and pain. So how do we actually navigate this not being alone when we're single? Because we're not alone. I mean, there's obviously, we know that God is with us all the time, but God was with Adam when he created Adam. And he still said, when he was not just with him, but walking with him and talking with him in the garden, and there was complete direct communion, God still said it's not good for man to be alone. So God still felt that God wasn't enough for Adam. He still needed a relationship that was on his level, a mate. So how do we navigate that as single people? And I feel that I've got a lot of female single friends. I've always had friendships with guys easily, and I think that relationships with the opposite sex, whether you're a guy or a girl, are very normal because that's the way that God created us to be, didn't he? There's something about having company of the opposite sex, whether you're a guy or whether you're a girl, that there's something fulfilling about it, isn't it? It can be more fun to just have that companionship. So it's good, I think, as single people for us to be able to have a range of friendships that aren't just, you know, that we're not all just girls and we're not all just boys, because there's a balance that comes with the two genres that God actually created, and that's quite normal, and it actually gives us something that we wouldn't get without it. So God made us to complement each other, male and female. So whether you're dating or not, it's quite normal to have friendships with the opposite sex. But how do you have them in a healthy way and a safe way? So I wanted to just share a little bit more about my testimony, and then we're just going to unpack and help and do a bit of discussion and a bit of interaction with some of your ideas as well, because I'm sure there's a lot of wisdom in the crowd as well. So the first thing I want to propose, really, is the idea of living with an open heart, in a way where we honour our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, Andre spoke about this yesterday, and he brought up the scriptures about being selfless and about being active. And just the fact that when we're actually in relationships with people, we know as Christians that we are supposed to love and honour the people that we're in relationships with. But how do we do that? Practically, what does that actually look like? That is the question. And how can we guard our hearts and protect our hearts in the process of that as men and women? So I want to just share with you, I told you I had a lot of male friends the whole time when I was a single girl. Do I still have them? I'm walking through that at the moment. And I would say that a lot of those friendships were platonic. You know what I mean? Platonic relationships where there was, not romantic connotation to the relationships. But I think what happened to me is I asked the Lord to give me discernment, and I went through some relationship teaching in a ministry school where I was at, and I realized, it's like the Lord opened my eyes, that a lot of my friendships that I had with male friends that I'd known for years and years and years weren't actually as healthy as I thought they were, because I thought they were purely platonic, but there was this whole bunch of unspoken awkwardness that was never spoken about from my side or their side. And things, I think, when I actually got my eyes open to it, which the Lord did, what I realized was that actually, perhaps they did like me and I wasn't really looking at it or admitting it or seeing it. And the other thing was, I realized that maybe I was, in some ways, it was unhealthy, because I was getting some needs met from them, which didn't really, sometimes it's nice to have attention, isn't it? It's nice to know you're wanted, you're needed. But actually, was I really protecting their hearts in the process? And was I really being honest and open to them about where I was at? And I realized that this is actually, if they were really friends and they were people that I cared about, was I really protecting their hearts and was I being honest? And all of the things that were unspoken from their side as well and my side, was that actually a healthy, open, authentic relationship? Platonic. So I decided to kind of repent of it in a way and realize that, because we're a family, aren't we? When we believe in the Lord, we're all essentially brothers and sisters, and we have to care for each other as brothers and sisters. And I think the whole concept of thinking of these friends as my brothers and protecting their hearts and in many ways releasing them to telling them where I was at in my heart and in making sure and ensuring that in no way I was leading them on. And not that I was deliberately doing this, you understand. It in many ways these relationships looked healthy, but actually opening my heart up and actually saying what was going on changed the nature of the relationship somewhat. Now, they didn't go away, the friendships, but they became more healthy, and we opened up a new level of conversation in those relationships. And in many ways, they were released fully, I think, to pursue what they really wanted, because it helped them to open their hearts to what was really going on as well. So I just wanted to mention that, because I think in this area, there's a lot of awkwardness and there's a lot of things that are not spoken. So I wanted to present the idea of what we call a DTR. Has anyone heard of that before? Define the relationship talks. has anyone ever heard about this concept before? Great, fantastic. Oh, one lady. Okay, couple are thinking about it. So sometimes, you know, we spend a lot of time, don't we, with someone of the opposite sex, and we don't really speak about what's actually going on. And many times, any relationship between a man, a woman, a girl, a boy, there's going to be something going on in either one of their hearts. It's impossible. It's just that whole movie, isn't it? When Harry Met Sally, very old movie. You know, is it possible for a man and a woman to be a friend without there being any kind of thoughts on either way about what may or may not be? Is it possible? I don't know. But the point is that most of the time, nobody ever speaks about anything, do they? So all of the stuff that's going on is going on under the surface. And I think sometimes we might be spent giving a lot of our time and a lot of our attention to someone and not realizing by just doing that, we're actually giving them signals. We're actually letting them believe something possibly that maybe isn't even true about our interest in them. So in a sense, that's not protecting their heart, is it? By opening up our hearts and giving them our time and our attention without actually letting them know exactly where we're at. So it can be quite a dangerous area. So what I wanted to talk about, but then the opposite area is to be totally shut down and afraid to have any kind of relationships with someone of the opposite sex, because you don't want to give signals and you don't want to cause any problems. So that doesn't sound very right either, does it? To be having these relationships and not talking about what's going on and not having any kind of connection with anyone of the opposite sex ever because you don't want to get messy or you don't want any grey areas to turn up and you don't want anything complicated to happen. Because God's actually designed us to have friendships and for men and women to enjoy each other's company. So, for example, when we look at boundaries, very good teaching, sometimes the idea of what I've realised with singles is the idea of the boundaries can stifle the opportunities for relationships to actually happen because there's such good boundaries being put up, there's no connection happening. And that's not God's best. And when you think about it, Jesus said, there's no greater love than this than to lay down our lives for one another. Now, he was talking about friendship, not romantic love. So if you think about the picture in the Bible of what friendship actually looks like, it's close, it's intimate, there's love, there's connection. So what is that middle ground and how can we navigate it healthily with being authentically who we are and loving and opening our hearts to people without getting into this area that Andre touched on yesterday where there's hurt and there's pain and there's unspoken words and there's wrong signals and there's confusion and there's all of those things going on. What do we do? So one of the tools I think that's really helpful is what we call a DTR, define the relationship talks. And what these are actually a time when you sit down with your male or female friend, and it may be someone you've just met, it may be a little way down the road of getting to know someone, and you actually have an open conversation about the nature of your relationship and what's on your heart. Now, when I found out about the idea of this, my first reaction was, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. Because do you know what I mean? How many people, their heart fills with dread about this whole idea? It's like, oh my gosh, I can't think of anything more painful and awful than to have this. But when I actually realised that it was an act of love, actually, and I was actually protecting my brother's heart, and also it was a potential way of me opening up parts of my heart and possibilities that hadn't been before in terms of romantic relationships, I thought, I'm going to master this. I'm going to give it a go. So I did it a few times. And it honestly, we talk about in our coaching courses, we talk about chicken lines, those scary moments where you have to step into something that's not what you've done before. And I had to do it in a few friendships and with men. And I thought the more I do it, the easier it will become. And guess what? I was right. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And the hardest time you do it is the first time. So I got to a point where I realised this is really important to actually, in a friendship, to be really honest and straightforward about where I'm at in my heart. And this includes expressing feelings if you're not interested in them or even if you are. It's important to define the relationship. So what you're doing is you're opening up a conversation saying, look, I think it's important we just talk about where we're at. At the moment, I know we're having a friendship, but male and female friendships can be, complicated. So I just want to let you know where I'm at. From my perspective, I'm enjoying this friendship, but it's nothing more for me. It could be as simple as that. And then it's like, where are you at? And what it does is it puts the other person at choice and it helps them to actually know where you're at, know what to do with their heart. Because otherwise you have people sometimes in friendships who are hanging on and on and on and on because they're hoping for something to happen. And it can, in many ways, it normally results in a friendship continuing, even if one party's not where the other party is necessarily at. So what I thought I'd do is use the example of my most recent relationship, because we were friends for a very long time before we actually became more than friends. And how do these define the relationship chats, these open-hearted relationships with the opposite sex, actually work in reality? What better opportunity than to just to show you a real live one and how it worked? So for our relationship, Gerard, could you just stand up so those that don't know you, this is Gerard. This is who I'm engaged to. I'll pull you up. So my team's like. So we met about 3.5 years ago, nearly 4 years ago. I'm not going to go into the long story. It would be about 4 seminars. But to cut a long story short, it would be fair to say I wasn't interested in him romantically at the time, or at least I thought I wasn't, and he kind of was. It'd be fair to say that, wouldn't it? But I didn't reject the friendship, even though I knew he was interested, because I really enjoyed spending time with him. And I thought, well, I'm not interested now, but what if God has this, what if this is of God? Because for those of you who were not here yesterday, I said a prayer and said to the Lord, it's your choice, not mine, and I'd relinquished this area to him. And I enjoyed spending time with him. So I wasn't going to sacrifice my friendship with someone that I got on with just because I wasn't interested. But I knew it was important to communicate to him that I wasn't interested. So I did. But I kept my heart open at all times for the possibility, even though at times I was 99% sure that he was not the man for me and told him so. I said, every couple of months, I was like, just so that you know, I feel like you're getting more interested in me, but I'm about 99% sure at this point in time, I'm not interested, okay? It went from 60% to 80% to 95% to 99% sure at times I was not interested. But I got to know... yeah, we will. Because I'm not saying anything he doesn't know. This is the point, you see. So I got to know him anyway, and he continued to pursue me. Coming from Australia to the UK last May to just hang out with me and to help me in my ministry that was growing. And I was like, well, this, hang on. When I said it out loud, I'm like, there's this guy coming from Australia to spend time with me, but there's nothing in it. I'm not interested. I'm definitely, he's not the man for me. Well, I'm 99% sure anyway. But I was really excited because I really loved the fact that he was going to be in the country. A lot of our other communication had been Skype, and he'd been in and out of the country a bit. So that's what happened. I mean, when you talk about it now, it's quite a romantic story. But at the time, for me, it was quite scary because I'm like, well, you know, I didn't really know how it was going to work out with having someone coming over. But I felt safe because I was able to communicate to him, this is where I'm at. I'm not interested. I love having you around as a friend. And I constantly just told him where I was at. And I asked him where he was at as well. So, and I honoured him as a friend and cared for him as a friend and made sure that he knew where my heart was at. Sometimes in our journey, before he came to the UK, I was actually looking for other dates. I was on the internet and dating. And I told him, I said, by the way, I feel I'm going to, you know, go and look for other dates. Never actually went on any, but I was out there. And he said, that's fine. He said, from my perspective, I'm not looking. And that was all spoken out loud. So what I thought it would be really handy is for you to hear his perspective of what it was like for him. You interested in that? What it was like for him to be with someone who was so straightforward and honest about where they were at and who opened up the hearts and opened up his heart to find out where he was at as well. So I'm actually going to get Marianne to help this conversation and interview him. Because Marianne's one of our coaches. She's brilliant, asking great questions. So come on up, Gerard. You might want to give him a hand because he's a brave man on so many fronts, and this is yet another brave.
Well, thank you for helping us out on this journey that we're on together. So, Gerard, tell us what it was like for you as Tina expressed what she was feeling about you in these DTRs.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, when she would do these DTRs, the thing that I felt so clearly and profoundly was the depth of the friendship. And to me, she was very important to have a relationship for what I was called to do with God, and I already knew that. And I think she didn't pick it up, but she would now. But the bottom line was is that I just felt so safe to be her friend. So although I had various feelings about her, at the end of the day, she was an amazing friend to continue to have.
Wow. And what was it that made you feel safe?
That she was honouring me, valuing me, being clear with me, and that excited me.
Wow. Tell us more about that.
Well, let's just say I've never had clarity like that with a girl before. She was very crystal clear with her heart with me.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. And the times when she expressed that she was only, you know, she was 99% sure that it wasn't right. How did that feel receiving that?
I was even more excited.
You did. We were just talking about this over breakfast, but you talked about how it made you feel loved. Can you just tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's obviously many dimensions to love, and in this case, the most valuable thing to me was to be a friend, really, when it comes down to it. Mm. So the friendship was the core thing to me, especially with what I wanted in the future, with what God had called me to do. So, yeah, so it was just really that profound love as a friend.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I can carry on questioning him. But is that enough?
Is there any questions that anyone, was there one or two questions anyone from over there would like to ask? Oh, there's a hand up there. Yeah, hang on.
Gerard, what were you called to do? That seemed to be like a link or part of her plan in the future.
I'm called into marketplace ministry to create businesses around the world where God's glory is revealed. And part of that is to get people empowered to reveal Christ in their life. And Tina has a key to that. Yeah.
So tomorrow morning, I'm going to open up about more about the whole life purpose and calling thing and relationships and how it works when... It's really good. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But today I just thought, are there any questions specifically about the process of DTRs, how they work and what it was like for Gerard or for me, either or for either of us, you can point the question at.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I'm really happy to hear about your relationship. And I think it's very brave, you know, that you've come to sort of speak to us. But it was more a comment, I think, in how you said you were excited to step out. Because I think for you, well, for both of you, it might have been a big challenge because I was thinking about boundaries and the fact that you were coming to work together as well. So it was just a comment about if you think about the context of your workplace in your ministry, you were prepared to go... forward with that, really, I think.
So what would you... Was there a question or is it just a comment or an insight?
It was just that... I suppose it is a comment but also a question in that must have been very strong to you for you to be able to go forward in that. And then if people are looking for different relationships in the workplace, I mean... Yeah. For me, I have very clear boundaries that I don't sort of cross over because of the work that I do as a nurse.
I used to have that boundary as well, that work and play. But I think the DTR helps to keep things safe for both people. I mean, Gerard had a choice. He could have said, look, she's not interested. It's too painful for me. I'm walking away. But his choice was to still want to pursue the friendship despite that. Did you have anything to say?
It was awkward, but she was very respectful.
Yeah, okay. Okay, one or two more questions and then we'll move on.
I think you were next.
Yeah, Gerard, because I've got a similar situation. I've got a lady friend who's not interested in a relationship, really. It's a friend, yes. But what's the key components would you recommend? Well, because I'm sort of in your shoes, well, now that you were... And she said she's not 99% not interested. I'm sort of in that situation at the moment. So what would you recommend, or what was the thing you could give some tips from me that your experience was, you know, with Tina?
Well, I'm happy to talk to you about this afterwards, but essentially giving a brief on that, it would be that God really choreographed the whole relationship, and he really just took me through every step of the way with it in such a deep way. So his hand was on it.
Yeah. So Gerard was following God's lead, not mine, in many ways. And that's a whole nother set of seminars. But you'll speak to him afterwards if he wants to know more, yeah? Okay, was that okay? Yeah. Another question?
I don't mean to sound negative, but I'm in the situation you're in. I'm 100% sure I don't want to be with my ex-partner. I don't like the idea of no means yes and no means wait a bit longer and no means, you know, I've been with my partner for 7 years and I've come to the feeling now it's not right for me. I don't want to get married, and sometimes people do need to take no. And I've tried to stay friends and I've tried to be kind, and I'd love that platonic friendship. That's what I want. I want the platonic friendship, but I don't want to get married. And sometimes people need to accept that as well.
Yeah. So is this with an ex-boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing about the honour part of this. You may want a platonic relationship with him, but he may or may not be able to have that with you. If he knows it's 100% that you're not in. There is a difference between 99% and 100%. It's a small difference, but look, there's a ring on my finger because of it. So that 1%. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you may be comfortable with a platonic relationship, but he may not. So you may have to sacrifice that if he's not comfortable with it. That's where a DTR is great, where you can actually say, look, I'm 100% sure. For me, it's only ever platonic. But, you know, I know you've got feelings and you wish us to get back together. Is what's going to protect your heart in this situation? Is it possible for us to have a platonic relationship? What could that look like? In what way could we have it that would work for you, that would protect your heart and keep your heart free for someone else? Because he might think about it and say, actually, I don't think I can do it. I think I might need to cut off. You know, this is where the honour comes in, and the Define the Relationship chat is so useful. Yeah. Did you have anything to say? Okay. One more question and then we'll move on. Is this helpful, guys? Okay.
Just a quick one. How did you overcome each other's personal differences? Because one thing I find difficult is with dating, because of self-harm and suicide, a lot of people I've met haven't really been very great with it. No, that's right, I can hear. Well, can't I? Sorry, can you
haven't been very
haven't been very understanding, or have just got up and walked away because of it.
Because of your past.
Yeah, because of the self-harm and suicide, when it comes to dating, it's been very difficult because of it.
Right.
So how do you overcome your personal differences with each other, or the clashes in personality at times?
Okay. Shall I say something? And then okay. So we're gonna talk about this. Our past does not define our future. Unfortunately, not everybody who you go on a date with will understand that or accept it. It's very difficult for some people to accept. We touched on divorce yesterday. I'm going to touch on that tomorrow morning in my seminar. But some people find it difficult to marry someone who's been married before if they haven't been. The same thing, you know, whatever you had gone through in the past. And all I can say is that the right person will accept you where you're at and who you've become today through it all. And you're going to need someone who's strong enough to accept it and love you for who you are and not see the things that you've done wrong in the past, but to see who you are and really value you. And that's what all of us need in a dating relationship, in a friendship. We want friends and we want to date people. And I never really dated my best friend before, and this is what's happened here. And it's a whole different ball game. And there's no right or wrong. You might not date your best friend, but you may. But all I can say is when you date a friend and when you actually start a relationship in friendship, there's a lot more value there, because you actually get to know the person for who they are now rather than defining them by their past. Advice for you is, I think, just in a way, some people put all of their garbage out on a first date, do you know what I mean? Like, this is who I am, and they tell everybody the worst of them. And I'm not saying you do that at all, but I think just get to know people and let them know who you are today. And as you progress into a relationship, you get trust and you build relationship and you build connection with the person, then you start to share your pasts, and that's when it's the appropriate time to bring.
That is what at times also causes a problem.
Yeah.
So because I can see that and it's aware to them, at times that straight away is a big walk away sign.
I believe there's always someone who will understand. God has an amazing way of bringing, I mean, we haven't got time to share it in this seminar, but when you look at Gerard's past and my past, we're definitely not perfect. We were not both walking with God in the way that we are now. But when we actually talk about our pasts, it would shock a lot of other people we've dated, right? In Christian circles, our pasts would. They wouldn't be able to accept it. But because the Lord's put us together and there's a match there. Do you get what I mean? And the Lord will find a way of matching someone to you, I really believe it, who will accept you and love you exactly as you are. That's all I can say. Anything you want to add? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to move on now. So that's just an example of an open, authentic, healthy male-female friendship. This case, the open conversations ended in engagement, but doesn't always end that way. I've got friends who've done this, friends who've really liked a guy, and I've said, look, you have to tell him. You can't just spend all this time with him and not tell him what your feelings are. And they've told him, and he's run a mile and not wanted to be friends anymore, you know? Now, they're like, I could have been friends, you know, if I hadn't have told him. But was that really fair on my friends who had the feelings? Because they're hanging around with someone by not authentically actually expressing what's in their heart. And their heart's not free to go and find someone else because they're totally, you know, with that guy. So I still feel, even if it doesn't end well, it's good to actually say where you're at and be honest. It's just about honouring yourself and the other person. So what I thought we'd do is we'd just take a few minutes to think about values. What do you value in your... what values do you hold around your friendships and relationships with the opposite sex? Just have a little chat. We're going to get you to go into partners and... what's important about the values that you hold in the process of your relationships with the opposite sex? Do you want to just partner with someone and just talk about what values you think are important, just for a couple of minutes each way? Thoughts. So this is really values around how you conduct these relationships, okay? So what kind of things have come up in your little group? Who's got some ideas? We're just going to flip chart some of them. Honesty. That's a great value. And in what sort of... can you tell us a little bit more about in what way that shows up? Mike. Sorry, we need to make sure for the recording. Honesty was what was said.
make sure I get the initials right. You mentioned a DTR.
Define the relationship.
Define the relationship, yeah. I think if you're not honest with anyone, how can you define a relationship?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's platonic or more serious. Yeah. And especially as a Christian, you shouldn't go around lying about things.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to be honest with people.
Yeah.
And then they can respect you and you can respect them.
Great, that's good. Thank you. Anybody else got some other values that are really important? Yes. From this... here you go. Doesn't reach.
Someone who's a good listener and doesn't always try and interrupt when you're trying to have a conversation with them. You know, they sort of listen and take everything in. So a good listener.
It's good. Thank you. Effective listener. Okay. Any other values that have come up? Yes.
We sort of said honesty, but authenticity as well.
Mm.
You know, it's they're two different things, I think.
What do you mean by authenticity? How's that different to honesty?
I'm struggling to come up with an answer for that now, but at the time...
But it's interesting that you said it's different, because I believe it is as well. Have an idea of what that could be, that difference?
Yeah, I just think being sort of being true to yourself more than, to actually being honest with yourself as much as expecting it from other people, really.
Yeah, so...
And I think when you go into that initial phase of a relationship, and trust me, I've had quite a few, and I'm ready for, a real one now, I think, is that it's... There's a lot of rubbish talked, isn't there, in the initial phases, because you want to impress the other person, and you're not necessarily doing it deliberately, but sort of, there's the blagging stage, and then I really like this, but do you really? I do too, And 6 months later, really? Do we really have to do this again?
Yeah.
So it's cutting through that, I think, as early as possible. I'm 50 now, and I don't want to play around anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's being authentic.
Yeah, from the beginning, being authentic, and not just. So in order for that to happen, you have to know where your own heart is and who you are and what you want. This is what we do. We do the destiny coaching stuff to help people to understand. Because quite often we're not lying deliberately, but we actually, in a sense, we're lying to ourselves because we're in denial and we haven't actually given ourselves a chance to understand our heart or where we're at, what we need, what we want. We haven't taken that time to reflect on it. So, yeah, very good point. Thank you. Sorry? Trust and open honesty. Yes, exactly. And it's hard, isn't it? It's a brave. This is, let's be honest. I mean, but it's scary and it's hard to actually face your own stuff and to speak about it and to be open and authentic and honest. But it's such great training for marriage, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think for me, I'm interested in friendship with the person I'm friends with, is that she has an interest in business as well, and she wants to extend the kingdom of God, and so she's not afraid of stepping out and doing what she believes the Lord's calling her to do, and so she's not, she won't stay in the backyard, but she'll pray, and she's got a business she's setting up. She's doing it non-profit, because all the funds would go into that business to help others. And my heart for her, she has a heart to help others and to maybe evangelize and to speak about the Lord. And so have I. And I'm a street pastor. And so I've got some link there.
Yes.
That I want to do. I want to sort of maybe help the homeless, or I'm doing a property developing, I might be able to link in with that ministry in the future. But to be a friend... who knows? It might, if I keep in there, that
it might turn into something.
It might
else.
Turn into something. But I mean,
perhaps you should ask her percentage and just suss it out whether it's 99 or 100%. That's a brilliant example. Thanks for sharing, Paul. Because when we're open and authentic about ourselves, and we talked about this yesterday, when we know our purpose and we have our own vision for our own life, what we want to do in the kingdom, how we want to bring the kingdom forth to earth, and we are in touch with our own. Game changer mindset, our own world changing potential, then we can recognize the people that we can run with, because there's nothing more special than running with a partner, a marriage partner who actually has a in some way where your visions actually connect with each other. But I'm not saying, obviously people run with people where they've got different visions, and that's fine too, but that's obviously part of your attraction to this woman, I'm sure, a lot more. Yeah.
People person, I believe.
People person,
and so am I.
Yeah.
I mean, she may not admit she's a people person.
Yeah.
I think she's working out some things in the past.
Yeah.
But I think she can overcome that. But don't let her past affect her future.
No,
I think
absolutely.
If she overcomes that, I mean, all things are possible. And, it says the Bible says with man things were impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible.
Absolutely. That's great. Fantastic. Is this helpful, guys, just to figure out things? I think I'm going to move on because I've got a little bit more teaching to do, and then we can always carry over some of these things into tomorrow's session as well. So thanks for that. So I just wanted to cover, I had some other questions which I'm going to sort of leave you to go away with. These are just examples of things that I've developed myself, like It's my responsibility to protect the heart of my fellow brothers. So when I'm having relationships with people, I want to not give them, you know, I just want to protect their hearts in the way that I behave, the signals I give, the level of intimacy that I open up to people who I'm not necessarily interested in, you know, going romantically with. It's my responsibility. And as I've said, with the DTRs, I'll be open and honest about where my heart is in a relationship with the opposite sex, however hard it may be for me to express that. Because sometimes it's hard if you're telling someone you like them. It's hard sometimes with a really good friend to tell them you don't like them because you're scared you might lose that friendship. But actually, this is about being authentic and keeping the safe, honouring the other person and letting them choose what to do with the information about your heart. And in the midst of this, I want to allow myself to have transparent, close, loving relationships with the opposite sex. You know, I'm not going to be so scared that I'm not going to actually have any of those friendships because they're a blessing from God. So I just wanted to talk about... We'll skip that one. Oh, well, this is something for you to ponder, to take away and ponder. What would make you feel safe and honoured to open your heart more in your male-female relationships? It's just something for you to think about and take away with you. And what I wanted to just mention was I just wanted to talk about the whole area of sex, because it's never talked about, and it should be. Why is it never talked about in the church, do you think? Or is it? Is anyone in the church where this is talked about? Put your hands up. Oh, fantastic. There's a few hands, 4 out of about 100. So it is talked about sometimes. But I just wanted to acknowledge this area, really. First of all, I know it's obvious, but God created sex. He loves it. He created it for a purpose, for intimacy in relationships with men and women. But sometimes single people are just expected to not have a sex drive and just to turn it off and it doesn't exist because you're single, right? So why would you actually want to in any way have sex ever? Is it fair to say that, you know, it's just not... But actually... I mean, it's kind of Victorian in a way, because in the Victorian age, that was exactly, sex was never really talked about. So we've got a very different culture in the church than we have outside of the church, where people don't really talk about anything else but sex, in some ways. Do you know what I mean? I'm exaggerating for effect, but it is a very predominant thing, isn't it, in the world? But I just wanted to say, really, God's not surprised by it. It's a totally normal thing. He created it as a way of intimacy between men and women. But it's really important, again, that we know what our values are around this area as single people. So I think it's important to acknowledge that we are sexual beings. It's important to know what sexual integrity looks like for us. And something that... we were taught in a church I attended was to actually think about what your purity plan would be when you're in a dating relationship. Have a plan. Have something that you have in place that would look like putting some boundaries in place for you. You know, what does that look like practically? What are you willing to do? What you're not willing to do? And at what points in the relationship? And if you don't have one, then obviously... Again, this is something you would communicate in the relationship. This is part of once you're dating, this is my purity plan. This is where I'm at. Again, it's about being transparent and honest so both partners know about it. If you don't have one, then, you know, if you don't have a plan, then you're not going to be following a plan. You're just going to be reacting or responsive to whatever comes up. So it's just one little tool there for you to use. This statement helped me enormously. I'm not going to talk about sex before marriage. I'm not going to talk about any of that. This is the one statement, I think, if you remembered anything, I think solves it all. That your level of intimacy with the person that you're with, both your physical intimacy and your emotional intimacy, should match the level of commitment that you have in that relationship. So isn't that a good guideline? So a lot of people go into physical intimacy very quickly in a relationship because they're not used to actually opening their hearts and actually having intimacy in any other way. And sometimes sex and physical intimacy can be a shortcut for people to feel intimate with each other when they haven't actually developed the ability to grow intimacy that's outside of that area, outside of physical intimacy. And this is all related to the DTR, the open, authentic, honest chats that we have. You need to find your voice in your relationship so that you can learn to build intimacy in an honest and authentic way. And when the intimacy, you know, the level of intimacy you give to someone physically and emotionally should only match the level of commitment that they're giving back to you. Hence the need to talk about where are we at? What's happening in this relationship? Hang on a minute. Are we still friends or are we going into a little bit more here? Where's your heart at? This is where my heart's at. You know, these are conversations that are so important. Otherwise, people get hurt. Does that make sense? Has anyone got any comments or any questions on that? Okay. Okay, there was one question there.
Would you say they're sort of linked in together, the intimacy and the commitment? So when obviously...
Yes.
Obviously, in any relationship, it's very physical first, and then you get the commitment second. Wouldn't it be nice if it sort of flipped on its head, where you actually develop the relationship first, and then it's the whole boundaries thing and stuff like that?
Well, I'm saying it's not just nice, but it's actually the way that I think God intended it to be, is to develop the intimacy first, emotional, you know, slow, you know, at the pace where you're opening up, you're learning to trust, and then when you get to that stage where you have value for each other, you know each other, you feel safe, like Gerard said, he felt safe and all the rest of it, when you've communicated, that's when it's time, you know, that's when you can start to develop the physical intimacy. It shouldn't be the physical first and the other second. Yeah. Okay, but in the world, that's totally how it happens. It literally, kingdom culture is like the opposite way around. Yeah. Paul. Quick one, if you can.
I was talking about the five love, you know, the five love languages. Mm-hmm. But are you saying the physical is on a par with the emotional, on the same level, scale?
I don't think there is a nice, neat little scale. I think it's all one. It's all what God's created us for us to actually build intimacy with one another.
I'm more physical, probably, and she's
more. Well, there's
emotional.
A difference between physical touch and affection than sexual physical acts. Do you know what I mean? Like with a friendship, you know, I used to give Gerard some lovely side hugs when we were friends. He hated them. But do you know what I mean? We can, in England, we're quite backward in expressing our affection in non-romantic relationships. Would it be fair to say that? I'm sorry, not everyone is. But we're not in a culture. I've lived in America and I've in California, and it's very different. You know, they were like, why do you keep seizing up when we hug you? I'm like, oh, sorry. And I'd get all used to getting hugged and everything. And then when I came back to England and went back to America, no one ever hugged me or touched me or anything. And then I'd go back to America and I'd be all like this. And they're like, what happened to you? So there's a difference. Physical touch. Let's learn ways of expressing physical touch that are not sexual and seductive in nature, where we're in a safe way, we're just expressing affection to people.
Or it depends on the person, whether they're going to be more emotional or physical, really.
Everybody, I know the five love languages is a great teaching, but in reality, we're all five. It's just which ones are more, you know, like, even if physical touch is your top, and or your bottom, you're still going to need it and want it in some way, shape or form. Yeah, the way we love each other is all five love languages. Yeah. And sometimes you think you're one because you've never actually experienced the other. You know, so we're all five. That's all I can say. No, learn the person you're with. Learn how they can be loved, what's comfortable for them, but match how you love them with the level of intimacy and commitment that you have with the person. It's inappropriate to express physical touch in certain ways if you're not in an exclusive romantic relationship, but it's appropriate in other ways to express it. You know, and isn't it lovely when you get a hug from someone of the opposite sex, when there's no seediness to it, when it's pure, just affection and love that's in a way that's not asking for anything more. That's just a lovely thing to experience, I think. Yeah. Okay, great. So I just wanted to finish off, really, with talking about intentionality. And this is something that Andre touched on yesterday, and I'm sure he's going to touch on more this afternoon, is this whole process of relationships, whether they turn into dating relationships, whether you end up with friendships that might be for life, you know, that are close, intimate relationships, involves us being active and not passive, which is what Andre was speaking about yesterday. And I call it intentionality. And there's three areas, really, that I think we need to become more intentional at. One is what we've been doing this morning, the way we approach and conduct our friendships. Okay, so, you know, don't just go into things without thinking, you know, how am I going to honour this person? How am I going to make them feel safe? How am I going to protect their heart? You know, men and women both have vulnerable hearts when it comes to friendships with the opposite sex. How am I going to communicate to them, you know, what this is, where we're at? The second thing is be open to date. Like, it might be that you're 100% sure, like the lady said, I'm 100% sure that I don't want to be with this person. But in my experience, when I've said never in my life, God always seems to have a bit of a laugh and bring something round again. That's why I didn't say 100% with Gerard. I left it at 99% because I just know that sometimes God changes things around. And when you get to know someone on a friendship level, sometimes things can change. So my encouragement to you is to just remain open. You may not be attracted to someone. You may not feel that they're romantically good for you. But if if you have shared interests, if you have things going on in a friendship that are good and you enjoy spending time with them, then spend time with them, but stay honest in that friendship and just be open to what God could do. But on the other hand, don't, you know, I'm not saying spend time with people who drain you or who you just don't enjoy being with. Obviously, that's not a good friendship or marriage, is it? To be with someone that you just don't actually... If you feel drained of energy and if you don't enjoy someone's company, then, you know, you have a choice. You can be friendly with them and love them, but they don't have to be a close friend, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense? It's all really obvious stuff, I think, really. So being and sorting out your stuff. So, I mean, the truth is held in tension. There's times in our life when it just feels right that we should be going on the dating websites and we should really be pursuing this. And there's other times in our life where it's just a time where God's maybe dealing with some other stuff in our life and it's not a time to be intentionally going after dating. And just being sensitive and knowing what season you're in is really important. And just allow God to show you. He will show you, you know, what is the right season for you. You know, you might be getting over a relationship, in which case you might need a bit of time just to process and make sure that you're ending it well, because that's really important before you go on to another relationship, to end relationships well. And can I just say, this idea of having open conversations and being transparent with each other makes breakups a totally different thing, because you've actually got a heart connection and you've got much more chance of it being a less messy process, which will actually make it easier for you to move on to another relationship as well. There's so much good teaching out there. There's no excuses, really, for us to be dysfunctional. So be intentional about learning, you know, how to do this stuff. And sort yourselves out. You know, I went through tons of counselling and different courses and all the rest of it to do this area well. And it's available. And it's a wonderful area of blessing for us to actually have really good friendships and relationships with the opposite sex. So my last thing that I wanted to talk about is this. I feel like we have to be intentional about avoiding cynicism as well. Cynicism creeps in, doesn't it? As we go through life and, you know, things don't meet our expectations and hope is deferred, hope is killed off, we start to feel cynical about what our future relationships might be like. You know, if you've been rejected a lot or if you've had things happen or, you know, with people, they've not treated you well. But I feel that we have to actually very actively fight against believing that that's always going to happen. You know, the Bible says that as a man thinks, so is he. So if you think that everything that's happened in the past with friendships, relationships, will happen in the future, you're actually inviting it to happen in the future. You're attracting it into your life. So there's a point where we have to switch up our cynicism on what has happened and dare to believe and step over in another chicken line and dare to believe that it will not be that way again. I just think that that's very relevant, and I think perhaps going through a list of people that you have, you know, had failed relationships with or friendships with, and just examining your heart and saying, okay, do I have ill feelings? Do I have bad feelings about this? Or can I truly say that I understand and I've forgiven and I've let go and I don't believe this needs to happen in the future? You know, that's a good way of just checking where you're at. A lot of people take that baggage into a new relationship and they also shut down their heart for the possibilities of the future because of it. A wise pastor that I knew once said, if there's an area in your life without glistening hope, it's under the influence of a lie. So because God is a God of a hope, every area of our life should have glistening hope, every area, even the area of relationships with the opposite sex. If it doesn't, then we're under some kind of lie or belief based on past experience, which isn't actually God's best for us and God's future for us. Here's the antidote for avoiding cynicism. Are you ready for it? Two words. Are you ready for it? Keep dreaming, keep visioning what can be, keep believing that God has the best for you. Singleness is a blessing as well. So the period of your life, I mean, we've talked about relationships being a blessing, but singleness is a blessing too. And God, you know, this is a wonderful time when you can actually go after discovering your purpose and what he's created you to be, because you're on your own, right? Like Paul was talking, you know, he had a vision. Like you're looking at the woman that you're interested in has a very similar shared vision as you. So having a vision and knowing what you want your life to count for is really important. Here, we haven't got time to go into this, but here's just a taster for you. When we look at life purpose with people, this is the sort of things we get people to look at. You know, what are your life messages? What is it that God has actually put in your life? All the things you've experienced, all the ways that God has actually been in your life turns out to be a life message that you're carrying for the world. And he will in some way, when you talk about that, I mean, you've experienced a little bit about my testimony over the last two seminars. Our testimonies, our experiences are where we have the greatest impact on the world. And that will be part of your purpose. And then we look at things like, you know, in what way are you going to disseminate that message? What will you actually be doing? And who are you called to actually speak to? These are some of the ways that you can start to define your life purpose. We also have, like, different questions for you to think about. And I can send you these slides if you text us your email address. But these are ways of actually figuring out what your passion is and what your purpose is. Because when you actually know that, you're going to actually be attracted to people who have a shared heart as you. And you're going to be able to, it says, the Bible says, one will take down 1,000, but two will take down 10,000. So the opportunity of actually getting married with someone with a shared vision means that your power is not doubled, but 10 times the power that you would have to bring the kingdom in the world. So knowing what your vision is really important, then it's easier for you to find someone who complements that vision. I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow. And we're going to go, we're going to actually do some coaching exercises for you to actually look at more defining what your vision is for your life and also for your partner tomorrow, some coaching stuff. But what I wanted to mention before we close today is we do actually run a Destiny Activation Program. It's called What Do I Do Next? And it's all about figuring out your passion, your purpose, how to unpack what God has put in your life, how to see what that could look like in the next year, and how building a vision for your life, really, and helping to unpack that and unpack the obstacles that may have been holding you back, and to set an action plan for the next 12 months of your life. And it's a program that we do for anyone that's a Christian. You have to be Christian. And just Marianne, do you want to just stand up for a moment? Marianne runs an online boot camp. Marianne and Sandy, do you want to stand up? They both run this as an online boot camp. It's eight Wednesday evenings, or we do it on different times. And you can just dial into our interactive classroom. It's all very, we discuss and we send you away with some coaching exercises. And by the end of the program, you know what your purpose is. You know what your life purpose is. You're very clear about it. You have a vision for your life and where you want to be. And we have a lot of single people that do these courses and married, but we have a lot of single people who want to actually really get clear on that area, which just radically changes your life, to be honest. And it will radically change the sort of people that you end up partnering with in marriage and in friendships and in appointments. And we also, Sandown, London, anybody from the London area? A few. So those of you in the London area, you might be able to get to Esher, which is on Southwest London. We're running a two-day version of it there, intensive. And anybody on the South Coast near Fareham or Portsmouth, yeah, we're running one there as well on the 14th and 15th of April in Gosport. And we're running one on the 27th and 28th of May in London. I do encourage you, come along, because there's no reason why this area needs to be a mystery in your life. God actually is talking to you. He's showing you what's next for you. And this will help and radicalize all your relationships as well. If you want to join our mailing list, we send out blogs of encouragement about different people and what they're doing, and different coaching tools and different events, then just text this number, which is actually my number, with your email address, and we'll make sure that you go on the mailing list. And if you want the slides from today, or if you want our ebook on life activating your life purpose, which we're offering for free, then just text that phone number or email us. But what I thought I'd do is I'd just close in a prayer before we leave. We've got leaflets for that as well, if you grab one on the way out. So if you all want to just stand up. Yeah, Lord, we just if you just close your eyes and just allow the Lord to just speak to you in this moment. Whether you've heard him before or not, he's always talking to us, something we believe strongly. So I just ask, just close your eyes and just be in receive mode, and we just say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful blessing, Lord, of relationships, Lord, especially male-female relationships. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you have given us tools to be open, authentic, to honour each other, to love and respect each other, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you will show us what your will is in the area of relationships, Lord, in the area of life purpose. And you will just guide us, Lord, in every way, and you'll bless this area in our lives. And I just declare over this group as a whole that today marks a breakthrough point for each and every one of you. The breakthrough that each and every one of you are looking for, desiring, even the breakthrough you didn't know you desired, is going to happen from this day forth. as you actually go forward into the fullness of all of what God has for you. Amen. Bless you. We're actually having a get together in the Inn on the Green.